All right, let's go ahead and look at that real quickly. I want to start again over here in Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. That's what we looked at Wednesday night. And we talked about being a disciple or the cost of discipleship. There's a cost to being a disciple of the Lord, as I mentioned earlier, to walking with Him and to laying down our life. Amen. And I want to read here beginning in verse 25, and I'll read this passage here in Luke 14. Now, there are many other places that Jesus says what? We are to love God, right? Remember we said we are to love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, right? Amen. How many have heard that? And to love what? Our neighbor as ourself. Well, that's very similar to what we're reading here, because Jesus says to the crowd, there's a multitude of people that are standing here in verse 25. He says, now great multitudes went with Him, and He turned and said to them, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after Me, he cannot be My disciple. Now, He didn't say it might be possible to be My disciple. He said, no, you can't be My disciple. He said, well, I'm a disciple of the Lord, and many people call themselves a disciple, but the word disciple means disciplined follower. Has anyone heard that before? Amen. A disciplined follower, and sometimes the word discipline is not so popular in 2023, is it? It's more like, I'll have my own way, I'll do my own thing, and if you don't like it, too bad. But Jesus said, well, if you want to be My disciple, there's going to have to be some disciplined areas of your life to walk with Me. So, He said, first of all, if we don't, well, He uses the word hate here, which is a very strong word, you know, in the English language, but we would say, you must love less every other person, right? We said father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters. Yes, his own life also. He cannot be My disciple. So what's Jesus after here? What was He looking for? Wouldn't you say, there's another word that's not real popular in 2023 too, and it's called the word commitment. Anybody ever heard of being committed to something? Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow Me, you're going to have to make a commitment, aren't you? You're going to have to make a decision. Amen. We decide and we say, yes, Lord, I will be a one that makes the commitment. That's what it means to be disciplined, doesn't it? So I'm going to do it. I'm going to decide to follow You, Lord, and I'm not turning back. Amen? You ever sing that song, maybe in Sunday school or somewhere? I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Amen. No turning back. I've made the commitment, Lord. I'm not going to allow myself to be distracted by others' opinions, whether it be my father and my mother, whether it be my husband, my wife, whether it be my brother, my sister, or even my own desires, Lord. I'm not going to let myself be pulled away from being Your son or daughter, Your disciple, the one that truly walks with You. Now, there are many things we could go after here, because there are a lot of number of things that are required or necessary when we are his disciple or to be a disciplined follower. You say, well, where are we going to follow him? How are we going to follow him if we, you know, we say, well, Jesus isn't on the earth, so how can I follow him? Well, he said, if you love me, you will keep what? My commandments or what I have said. That's the other part that Jesus said. Let's look here in Luke chapter 6, I believe. Yes, it is. Luke 6. And Jesus talks here, and this is what he says. Now, we're going to love less. So far, we're loving less what our family, those around us, those closest to us. And we're loving our life or what we desire, what we thought we might want to do in a natural way. We love that less than we love him. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, well, so what does that mean? I shouldn't love my family? No. If you love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're going to love your family even more. Amen. Why? Because you are following after the master. You're laying down your own life to walk after his. But here in verse 46 of chapter 6, he says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing, hallelujah, is like the man, a man who built a house on the earth or on the sand without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now here we're saying, and we mentioned Wednesday night there in Luke 14, because Jesus went on and he had talked about how we count the cost. If you're going to build a building, you want to count the cost first. Amen. If you were going to build a house, you wouldn't just start, you know, you'd say, well, here's the ground, here's my property, I'm going to just start building, you know, and you put some plywood down in the ground and you put some walls up and it wouldn't be very long and it would be what? Sinking into the earth and you know, it's leaning one way or another and you don't have very much of a house because you did not put a proper foundation, right? So first you would measure, you would think about it. You would write it down. You may even go to someone to help you draw it out, right? And make the plan. And then you'd find out, how much will it cost me to lay this foundation? How much will it cost me to get these walls built? And what is it going to take to what? Everybody say, finish the building. See, God is interested in you finishing your race. He wants you to finish what? Strong. He wants you to build what? Strong. And if we don't have a strong foundation, he said, we have to dig deep. In other words, it's going to take some time. It's going to take you a minute to stop. And how many know, depending on the size of the foundation or the size of the building, depends on the size of the foundation, correct? What do you want? Do you want a strong? What has God called you to be? See, we know that we are a building of God. You are his building. You are his temple, amen? And he fills his temple But we want that temple or that building, our life, to have a strong foundation. And it has to be built upon the words. He said, these are the men that what? Heed my sayings. Well, first of all, we wouldn't have to go very far back to see what some of his sayings were. Even if we just went back to verse 27. He says here, but I say to you, and here it is, love your enemies. We've talked about these before, but do good to those that hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you. Oh boy. There's some of his sayings here he was just talking to them about. And so we are able to say, if we're going to build strong, then we've got to look deep and dig deep what? Into what God has said. You said, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying his sayings are too deep to understand. He gave us understanding with the Holy Spirit. Amen. He said, I give you what? A new life. You get to be born again. You were changed. You're not the same. You're not a sinner. Now, if you go out and talk to the world, they can't really understand the things of God too well. You say, well, why is that? Because they have not been born again. Even Jesus talking to his disciples, he said, there are some things here I can't tell you about. You can't understand it yet. Why? Because they had not yet been born from above. Their nature on the inside had not yet been changed. And they could not understand the things that Jesus was saying, because he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a way for you to come unto the Father, where he can live in you and you in him, and together you will build this kingdom. You will make the building strong as you what? Hear my words, and as we obey them. He said, yeah, you can hear them. But if we don't obey them, then you're building on what? Sand, sinking sand. And when the storms of life come, you're going to be wiped away. Everybody says, well, how come he couldn't stand that storm? Well, the foundation was not strong enough. He did not obey the words that Jesus gave. You know, there are some people, they've heard the gospel, but they will not, what? Confess him as their Lord. They say, oh, I know that's for some time. I'm waiting. Well, I hope you don't wait too late. Sometimes we hear things from the Lord and we say, well, anybody ever done that? You know, someday I'm going to do that. Someday I'm going to read that book. Someday I'm going to spend some time in prayer, and someday never comes. And you say, well, why does someday never come? Because the future, if you keep putting something off, you may never get to it. Amen. So you're going to have to decide. That's part of being what? A disciplined follower. It's part of saying, I'm going to, on purpose, count the cost and begin to build my house. I'm going to, like a man, it says, he is like a man building his house, who dug deep. Verse 48, I'm going to dig deep. I'm going to lay the foundation on the rock. The rock of what? His sayings. Of what Jesus has said. You see, we have to have something. See, he's given us the Word of God. We must build upon the truths that are right here in the Word of God. You said, why? Because it gives you something other than your own life, your own flesh, your own idea to build your life on. Because he says, my word is settled where? In heaven for, somebody know, forever, right? It's settled forever. It's guaranteed. He says, I cannot lie. I am not a man. I've given you my word. And what he said here, he says, not all who cry, Lord, Lord, he says, why do you say, Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I have told you? Now, in another place, he gave the, remember, he gave the parable where one guy, he says, who is, you know, who's done my will? You know, the one guy says, well, I'm not doing it, but then he went and did it. Another guy says, I'll go do it, but he never did. One and the same, right? Because if you say, well, I'm not going to do it, but he went and obeyed the will of God. Amen. God said, wasn't he righteous? Yes, he became righteous. So you can change your mind. Did you know that? You get to change your mind. You said, well, I don't want to obey God, but how many know you can ask him for help? How many know you can begin to think about it and meditate on the word of God and become that doer? Because if we don't become doers, then James said, we deceive who? You don't deceive your neighbor. You deceive yourself. Because we hear what he said. Anybody ever heard the things of God? And you know, oh, well, I'm spending time with God. I'm praying. I'm seeking God. And somebody came up, when? Well, you know, I prayed last week. Well, when? And you got to thinking about it. Anybody ever had this happen? I'm just asking you. You got to thinking about it. Well, maybe I didn't pray very much at all. Maybe I'm just in love with the idea of prayer. I'm just in love with the idea of his word and reading his word. I'm in love with the idea of worshiping God. But how many know if we don't do those things, our foundation will not be upon the rock? Because he says, I've come. Are you doing my sayings? Are you building upon what I said, the revelation, the understanding of who I am? Or are you building on sand? Are you building on just on the plain earth? Are you just standing there on the sinking sand? See, because how many know? I remember they built the, I used to go to the Family Prayer Center in Tulsa. Well, whoever built the building there, it was before they owned it, but they put the foundation right on top of a landfill. How many think that's a good idea? You know, you know what a landfill is? That's where they bring all the garbage from all around, and the garbage trucks come, and they unload all the garbage into this particular land, and then they cover it up with dirt, and they do it over and over again, and they pack it all down and everything else. But that doesn't usually make for a firm earth. See, it moves a lot after that, because how many know it's going to settle down, and there's trash in there, and there's going to be sifting sand, sifting earth under there, isn't there? And because of that, see, they could have built there, but they didn't dig deep enough. They didn't go and put the piers down to the bedrock. See, if they'd gotten in there and they drilled some, you know, they call them piers, and they drill holes down far enough, all the way down to where it's solid bedrock, see, however far that is. And maybe it was real far. Don't know. Because it wasn't done. And it cost them the foundation over time. See, sometimes we get our foundation built, but it wasn't built solid. And over time, it can shift. Amen? And there can be cracks. And that means there has to either be repairs, or if it gets bad enough, that building can no longer stand. It's not safe. And they'll say, well, that foundation is not safe enough. You'll have to take that building down, and they have to tear it down. So I want us to see that it depends. The soil makes a difference. How many remember what Jesus said in the parable of the sower when he sows the seed upon the ground? What the sower sows, what do you sow? The word of God, right? Amen. These are words. He says, are you listening to what I have said? He says that we have to dig deep. He said we have to lay our foundation upon the truth of his word that never will change, that's settled forever in heaven. You see, we've got all kinds of people that want to see, they read something today and then they make a change. How many know there's a lot of change going on in the world right now? Amen. The Bible said in the last days, they'll say good is evil and evil is good. And that's exactly what's happening and taking place all around us all the time. It's been happening for a long time, 2,000 years or more, or 6,000 years, really, as long as man's been alive, it happens. Why? Because it's not based upon what God said. When things are based upon what God said, it will never change. His truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we're his disciple, we build our life upon a firm foundation of the Word of God. And if you have said, well, today I am his disciple, I'm his disciplined follower, but right now I haven't been feeling like reading the Bible. Well, Jesus didn't say, if you feel like it, get my words on the inside of you. He said, why are you saying to me, Lord, Lord, and not doing the things which I say? And sometimes it's because we don't know what he said, because we didn't look closely and dig deeply into what he said, and we haven't placed it in our heart, and our foundation can become a little shifty if we're not careful. And we may have to go in and make some repairs to our foundation. You say, well, how could I fix a foundation that hasn't got, I didn't get it quite right? You can come in and dig down deep. And you can put in some piers and stabilize what God has given you by what? Meditation upon his word. You see, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you get his sayings on the inside of you, and you keep reading them over and over and building stronger and stronger on the inside of you, that truth will be what you think about the most, and it will come to pass in your life. Well, we've got to make some decisions. We've got to decide, am I going to be a disciplined follower, or am I going to stand afar off and just admire Jesus from a distance? Am I going to say, yeah, it's a nice idea, it's wonderful, I'm going to come to church, I'll hear a few messages here and there, but I don't know if I want to do those things. Pastor, you've been talking a lot about prayer and the word of God and worship and seeking after the face of heaven, and I don't know if I want to do those things. But how many know? I want to share with you something. There's times, I'm going to surprise all of you now, okay? There's times I don't feel like seeking after God. My feelings are the farthest thing from him. Every emotion in me begins to rise up, and the enemy tries to say, you're a fool. What do you think you're doing? You think God's going to help you? Who are you? I'm His son, a child of God, and I know that in my heart. And because God's word said, I begin to take myself and open His word. And I read it whether I feel it or not, because it is the truth, because He has said, my truth will what sets you free. And I begin to see, oh, my Father loves me. I knew that already. But how many knows the Word of God does not get old? Do you know that? It doesn't get old. It doesn't change. It stays the same, and yet it's full of power. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is full of power, sharper than any two-edged sword. Will divide asunder on the inside of you what is the truth and what is error. Amen? It will come to you, and you can decide what is of my flesh, what is of God. Many times we might come to some place and we say, well, this feels right, this feels good to my flesh. And you think it might be God, but how many know when we got the truth of the Word of God, we don't even have to ask ourselves, is this true or not? We said, no, God's Word has said it is a lie, and it's not true. People have all kinds of feelings today. And yes, there may be the devil's lies, but we've got the Word of God. He said, and He does not change. God has not changed His mind about you. He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've set my faith upon you. My hope is in you. The Lord says, my thoughts toward you are good thoughts. Amen. They outnumber the sand of the sea. I see you engraved on the palm of my hand, and I say, that's my daughter. That's my son. That's my child. They belong to me, and I believe that when I place my seed in them, I give them enough to overcome in any circumstance. It doesn't matter what we face, we can allow the Word of God to take its place, to strengthen our foundation and cause us to stand. For the greater one lives in you. And He said, when we call upon Him, see, when we allow Him, we are His servant. And He is able to make you stand. Hallelujah. Because greater is He, what that is in you, than he that is in this world system, in the things that come against you. Of course, we're all going to have things come against us. As I said before, there are times that my mind says, you're not saved. You think you're going to heaven. No, I know I'm going to heaven, not because of how I feel, not because I'm all excited, not because there's this euphoric feeling on the inside, but because of what God has said in His Word, that I'm His child, and He has made a home for me. And we all have that opportunity. If we'll walk with Him, He says, you call me Lord, Lord, you do my sayings, you're going to be that foundation. You're going to be that house. You're going to be that building that is so strong that nothing that comes against it. It didn't say a small wind. It didn't say a light storm. No, the waters came. The enemy came vehemently to try to, that means violently. He came to try to tear your house down. How many have ever sensed that violent attack against your mind, against your life? But when we're doing what God has said, when we have said, Jesus is my Lord, I have obeyed His word. I take Him what He has said. That depending on what area it's in your life that He's come at you, say, no, I can cast that thought down. And I take it captive and I say, no, my Father has said He will take care of me. He will hold me up. When the enemy comes, he says, when the Bible says, when he comes against you, amen, God will raise up that standard against him, amen. When the enemy comes in like a flood, He'll raise up a standard against him. What is that standard? That standard is the Word of God. Amen. And that Word cannot fail. That Word will never fail you because it is sharper than that two-edged sword. It will divide asunder. It will uphold me. It will strengthen me because His Word and His things, He cannot lie. He will not lie. He has not lied, and He will never lie because it's already been settled, and no one can take it from you. There are do you know there's things in you that He can't take from you? The enemy cannot take truth from you. Nobody can take that from you. You've been born again. They can't take your spirit. I don't care what they do. Everybody says, well, they're trying to make people where they're not human. Well, they can't change your spirit. I got news for you. You'll still be able to be born again from now until Jesus comes and then beyond. Hallelujah. You'll be saved. You'll be His. You'll belong to Him. And you'll get a new body anyway. So don't worry about what happens to the body. Your spirit's not going to be changed. You're not going to be able to control your mind so bad you can't find Jesus. It's not going to happen. I'm just telling you, I know it's not. He says, well, they're making some... I understand that. I'm not telling you that there's not some bad things on the way. And I'm not telling you that there's not some things that can affect you in your physical body. But let me tell you something. Your spirit's been born of God and you belong to Him. You're of a different race. You're of the human race, but you've been changed, and now you're of God's kingdom. You were in the kingdom of Satan. Now you're what? In the kingdom of God. Are you or not? Amen. Hallelujah. And the Word of God, this is living. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner and thoughts of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The intent. How many know it makes a difference what your thoughts and intents are? Well, just ask a good father, right? Ask a good father when the boy comes to date the daughter, right? What are your intentions, young man, with my daughter? Amen. What are your intentions? What are your thoughts? In other words, he's saying, what are you thinking about my daughter? Are you going to take good care of her? You're not going to abuse her or hurt her, but you're going to care for her, right? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because if you don't, I will help you. You get her back here by such and such time. Yes, sir. We'll be back. Hallelujah. So it's very important what the intents and the Word of God will help us discern the intent of our own heart. You know, because people will say this. They'll say, well, you know, the Bible says that the heart is wicked continually. Yes, an unsaved heart. A person that's not born again, yes, their heart cannot be trusted. But how many know when you're born again, you got a new heart? The Bible says He takes out the stony heart, gives you that soft heart, that heart of flesh, that one that's been born again. And now your heart, your conscience can be trusted if you'll listen to it. And sometimes we have to realize, hey, I'm not talking about your feelings. I'm talking about your inner man, your heart, the spirit part of you that can be listened to. Amen? Not your feelings. Not all, you know, feelings change with the wind. You know, I may be all excited. Woo-hoo! You know, you say, well, I don't know if my feelings would ever change. Well, if I give you $1 million, I bet they'll change. Right? Hallelujah. I feel happy. Happiness is a feeling, but joy lasts forever. Amen. It's part of the heart, part of our spirit, man. There's a difference. So I'm not talking about feeling, but I am talking about your conscience on the inside of you, the one that can tell you right from wrong. It can be trusted. Why? Because it's been made new. It was changed, and we've got the Word of God on it. I've been born again. I may new creation, the old part of me, that nature that was in me, that nature of death moved out and the nature of life moved in. And as I spend time building myself in the Word of God, my building becomes firm because I have a nature in me that can now understand what the things of God. It can understand the words of God. I can begin to grow in Him and I can be His disciplined follower. Why? Why can't I be? Because I belong to Him. I'm His son. I have that nature on the inside of me. And now my desire is to do what? Righteousness, not evil. Because the Bible says when we're born again in what? True righteousness and holiness. And our foundation becomes strong because we give ourselves to these truths of the Word of God. Now, I didn't know I was born again. I mean, I'm sure the thief at the cross went to heaven and, you know, they asked him, they said, well, did you know that you received a new nature when you got saved? No, he would have to say, no, I didn't know anything about it. Well, why are you here? Well, Jesus said, He'll know me in the kingdom. Now, that's the last moment. How many know at the last moment anybody can call upon God and He'll still receive them? But how many know we want to walk with Him? He's called us to be His disciple. He called us to grow up. He's called us to make His words, amen, become a part of us so that we become one with Him. Because His word builds the foundation that cannot be moved. Because the storms of life, there in this sixth chapter of Luke, they're going to come. The storm came to the guy that built his house, the guy that, you know, built it on the foundation firmly on the words of his sayings, and it came to the other one, didn't it? It came to both of them. Why? Because Jesus knows something that you and I know too, right? The storms of life come to everybody. They come. The storm come vehemently. It came violently, and the man that built it on the sand or upon the sinking ground, no good foundation, not doing the sayings of Jesus, was destroyed. So Jesus is not here saying, hey, dig deep and build a foundation. He gave us a reason, because I want you to stand. I don't want your life to be lost. I don't want you to say, Lord, Lord, and not do my sayings, because I want to be able to say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant, my disciple, my disciplined follower, my man or son, my daughter, my son, welcome to my kingdom. Thank you. Come walk with me. And then His ability rises up on the inside, see? And we overcome. It may be an area of healing. If it is, then we can face the Word of God. We can face this attack. We can gain strength with the Word of God. And we can have a firm foundation. And we can trust the Master. See, we can trust Him with our future. Has He not said who or what is going to separate you from the love of God? Is it trouble or tribulation? Is it famine or nakedness or sword? Is there something that can separate you from His love? There's only one person that can separate you from His love, and that's you. Because you could let go. You can let go, but He still follows you. His side, He's never going to let you go. He's not going to relax His hold on you. He said, I will be with you forever. But these truths are based on the Word of God. And when we have the truth of those words on the inside of us, then it doesn't matter the storm that comes. The foundation of His sayings lives on the inside of us. And we will overcome. Amen. How many overcomers we have in here? How many disciples? You're going to be that disciplined follower. Not because I feel like reading the Word of God, but because I know that He said His sayings will strengthen me. His sayings going to build that foundation in me. His sayings are going to cause me to overcome. When the storms come, when the thoughts come to my mind, what am I going to be able to discern with? Hey, is that God or is that the enemy? Is that me or is that God? What is that? Is that or is that the devil? Where I've got the Word of God. It's full of power. It's going to discern with me. It's going to help me to overcome. It's going to help me to understand and to know the thoughts and the intents of my heart. And I will be able to do the right thing because it's divided me. And it's given me a power that is with that word. Amen? Hallelujah. There's power with that. Because the wisdom of the world doesn't bring a power with it. It can help you understand some things sometimes, but there's not necessarily a power with it. But how many know the wisdom of heaven brings the power of God behind it? The Word of God brings the power of God behind it to overcome and to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's stand up.